Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are joined today by Tiffany Newharth. She's the executive director of Rise Up Recovery, which is right on Vermilion Street. They're our neighbors. We're so happy to see her. And we are happy to have her in studio today to talk about their wonderful organization, maybe the roots of it, which people might not know, and just some other things that are coming up. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Mo. Appreciate it.
Well, we're so happy that you're here, Tiffany. And I got to tell you, you know, I haven't been over to drop off brownies or a floral arrangement to our neighbors across the street, but you've been on Vermilion Street for how long?
3 years.
Then I feel terrible I haven't baked you a pan of brownies and brought them over.
Well, we certainly love our treats, so you're welcome to at any point in time.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind. But before we went on the air, we were talking about a mutual friend of ours, Dean Markison, and what a mark he has had, a lasting legacy, really, on the city of Hastings. And for people that know him, they know so many. Everyone has a Dean Markison story, and everybody has some good deed that he did. But really, his involvement with your organization certainly has changed your organization forever for the better. Is that correct?
Oh, completely. We would not be where we're at today without Dean and his generous heart and his strong desire to make an impact and have a lasting impact. So, yeah, we met Dean. We first crossed paths with Dean when we were an infant in our program, and we went to the Journey Church, actually, to share about our vision and what we wanted to do. And we were having a fundraising banquet. I think it was within a week or two. And in Dean's style, he was so enthusiastically wanted to sponsor and wanted to be a part of it. And we were happy to have him sponsor and attend. And it was at this event that he ran up to my husband afterwards. Well, first of all, he was sitting next to my husband's mom, my mother-in-law. And he looked at her and he said, "I know what I need to do." And she was like, "Okay, Dean, go talk to Chad." And of course, at the banquet, he was handing out his personal story to everybody, right. His little flags, and of course, being the legend that he is. And he ran up to my husband afterwards, and he said, "I have a building for you guys. You and your wife need to come and to see this building. I have a building for you." And my husband's like, "Okay, come here, Tiffany." He pulled me over, and I chatted with Dean, and I'm thinking in my head, this is too good to be true, and he's really eclectic and eccentric, and is he serious, or what is this? But nonetheless, we'll go tomorrow, and we'll look at this building. And so we went down and met him at the space, and that's when it was Foss and Swanson's, the People Center still, and he had all these big dreams and visions, and he said, "Yeah, I want to give you guys my building." And we were, sort of dumbstruck, and it was like, well, okay. Katie, and this sounds good in theory, but how about we talk to your family? You know, because he was getting frail at that point in time, and obviously we didn't want to have the appearance of taking advantage of somebody or whatnot. And so we pulled Shirley and his daughters into the conversation, and this was maybe a month and a half, 2 months of talking, and that was it. I think it was December 1st, I want to say, 3 years ago, that the building was officially signed over to us, and we were able to help clean out all of his stuff, the upstairs and the downstairs. And he was a frequent visitor. He stopped by regularly to visit with me and to collaborate on different projects he wanted to do together. And then it was very shortly after that, it was within a handful of months when all of that was said and done, that he was hospitalized and that he passed on. And, you know, we've had the incredible privilege of just connecting with Shirley and getting to know her really well and his daughters. And it was, in my opinion, God's perfect timing to be able to help them clear out this space, but then for this space to go to something that really has an impact in the community, which anybody who knows Dean knows that's what his heart was.
He was community, and that was a big word for him. And as you mentioned, Foss and Swanson, the community piece was very, very important. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just lovely because you're known as a recovery community center. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I still am at a loss, though, with what could have moved Dean so much from your presentation. Did he ever share that with you?
No. I mean, from his perspective, it was all about God and Jesus and a heart of generosity and giving. And that's, you know, he felt moved by God to give and to share the space that wasn't being used in the way that he wanted it to be used. It wasn't being capitalized as much as he wanted it. And he saw an opportunity for the space to be really implemented in the community to have a lasting impact.
And how has that impacted you, just meeting somebody that really is faith in action like that?
I'm a Teen Challenge graduate, so my roots are, that's my heart too. But to see somebody take such a huge leap of faith in generosity is nothing shy of moving. I think it's really impossible to not be moved by that.
So as you mentioned, when you did meet Dean, you were in your infancy stage. Tell us about the history, please, of Rise Up Recovery.
Yes. I mean, the acquisition of that space did change everything for us. Before that, I mean, when I say grassroots, Mo, it was grassroots. I was meeting with people in Froth and Cork upstairs, one-on-one. That's how it started. And it was this deep desire to see kind of some gaps in our recovery's ecosystem here in our community filled.
So explain that a little bit more, because I don't quite understand that. You're very open with the recovery piece of yourself. Yes. So what did you see?
Yeah, I saw, not only from my personal experience, I went through over a dozen treatments myself during my period of, I call it field research days, because I was really struggling. I had been a counselor, had a return to use, and went through a number of years of pretty profound struggle. And it was this kind of revolving door of in and out and in and out and in and out, and a lack of support
once you're
during
out.
The out period, right? And even some struggles with needing to get back in, but not knowing what resources to turn to, or, I mean, it's a really large system, and to navigate it can be overwhelming and frustrating. And I saw that in this community, working in a treatment center, the kind of in and out, in and out, in and out, and people doing really well in treatment, getting good care, but not having the adequate support while they're out. Kind of figuring out how to take that head knowledge and apply it, that faith in action, that recovery in action. How do I do that? And that's where this idea of peer recovery support services, which is what we do at Rise Up, that one-on-one almost recovery coaching where we can come alongside people, walk side by side and help them figure that out, the nuances. And when they're struggling, be that constant person that anchors them. When they're doing well, be that cheerleader that supports them, you know. So that's where it was birthed.
And the one-on-one piece, I would assume, is very important, because it's not a one-size-fits-all, is it, for your recovery?
No, absolutely not. One of the things we talk about is we value all pathways to recovery. There are so many different ways to recover. There, some people might really enjoy AA meetings or 12-step meetings. Some people might enjoy faith-based meetings. Some people might not like meetings at all, but they have outdoor activities that they engage in and enjoy. You know, whatever. Our goal is to really help people connect with what helps them move towards wellness. Mm-hmm. Without judgment, without us directing, they get to direct and we just get to support them. So
you saw that as a need, and then how do you take that then to, did you just, were these people that you were meeting with at Froth and Cork, were they folks that you had known already, or were you referred to by somebody else, or how did that work?
Both and.
Okay.
Yeah, so sometimes it was people who I had had a counseling relationship with prior. So my background, I'm a licensed alcohol and drug counselor also. And, you know, maybe it was somebody who was struggling and needing help. And so they would reach out to me and I was able to provide that peer support for them. And then it built into, hey, I know this person who's really helpful, reach out to her. And then it kind of organically, okay, well, I can't keep doing this on my own. I've got to bring other people in so I can start building the organization. And it has turned into what it is today, which is far beyond what we ever imagined it would be.
Well, tell us about Rise Up Recovery of today, please.
Oh, yes. It's exciting. We have 8 full-time staff, which that's...
Tiffany, what the heck?
I know, right?
I mean...
From me and my husband to 8 full-time staff, just incredible. We have 2... actually now a 3rd recovery residence here in Hastings. We've got Providence House, which is just 2.5 blocks from our community center site. And then we have Hope House, which is our women's house. And then Hope 2, it's a duplex, which is our women and children house. So we get to serve housing needs. We do the one-on-one peer support. We have a number of support groups that take place right at the community center. Education offerings. We do a lot of naloxone training and harm reduction pieces. And just so much. So much.
Did you think that this would be this big ever? I mean, what the heck?
Definitely not 4 years into it.
No.
No. I mean, yeah, April will be 4 years old officially. You know, I had no idea. I truly feel this was a calling.
It must be, Tiffany. Know?
And it has been one of those just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle stories where doors that, you know, no man can open have been swung wide. And, you know, we're looking at some other really exciting expansions coming up here soon, working with some treatment centers, being their primary peer support provider. Yeah, there's big dreams and visions ahead too, which is exciting.
So what do these eight folks that work with you do? What are some of their duties?
That's a great question. So it depends on their role. You know, I would say there's a couple kind of categories of peer specialists that we have. We have our housing peer specialists who primarily work in our housing program. And those individuals really support our residents. That might look like helping them with employment, helping them either get into treatment or make sure treatment services are going well. That might look like getting to doctor's appointments. It might look like goal setting. You know, the goal is for them not to be in our residence permanently. This is a temporary landing place to move you to the next stage. So really working with them on their goals of how do I keep getting well to the point of independence. And then we've got our community peer specialists, and those are individuals who work with anybody in the community. And that can look a lot different. You know, some of those folks in the community may be struggling. They might not be ready to engage in treatment yet. And one of the unique things about what we do is we'll work with you, and it's not contingent upon your level of wellness. Many treatment programs, for example, somebody has to be sober, mm-hmm. which is great and that's necessary. But for us, we have that unique position of if you're really struggling, we're going to be there with you in the trenches, because at some point in time, you're going to be ready for that hand up and you need someone there, and we'll be that person that can be there for you. And that has been a pretty profound position to have. And we've seen amazing stories and some incredible testimonies come from that too. So that can look like, to answer, it can look like helping people get into treatment. It can look like supporting them after treatment. It can look like somebody just really struggling and us helping them get into a detox program, or sometimes even just being a listening ear as they're struggling and they're trying to navigate their choices.
Well, and how wonderful that people have this wide variety of things you can help them with. Because I agree with you, I do know a lot of places that wouldn't help a person unless, as you said, they were on the road to getting well, mm-hmm. that they don't want to invest the time or have the patience to work with somebody on their own timing. And if the timing isn't right internally, it's not going to work as a recovery. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, I remember so clearly. I mean, just like it was yesterday. I remember being in a program myself, and this is when I was really struggling. And I remember, I mean, I woke up at maybe midnight, couldn't sleep, and I was talking to the overnight staff person. And I remember saying to them, you know, I don't expect that someone is going to come and pluck me out of this mess. That's not my expectations. But gosh, it's so lonely and dark here. It just makes me want to cry even thinking about that. It would really be nice if there was someone who could just sit with me while I'm in it.
Did that counselor or did that person at your treatment center, did they look at that as an opportunity to sit with you?
They definitely did, to their capacity. You know, they didn't have the kind of training that we get and yes. that we provide. So they were there in the capacity that they were able to be. But that's just a kind of a picture of how powerful of a role we have.
This one-on-one piece you're yep. saying.
And being able to sit with people when they're in their darkest moments, so that they know. And again, it's just displaying the heart of God. Listen, we love you. We see you. There's better for you. And we're going to sit with you until you can see it yourself and you're ready to get up and walk out. And then we'll hold your hand as you walk out and we'll journey this path with you.
You know, what an emotional statement that must be to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Probably the first time maybe they've heard something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, substance use disorder is a disease. It's an illness. And there's not many other illnesses that carries as much stigma and isolation as substance use disorder and mental illness both do, right? you know, so we really try to see beyond that, because that's not who you are. That's the disease state that you're in. And so if we can communicate with people that exact point, this isn't who you are. This is part of your illness, and there's wellness on the other side of you, on the other side of this, that instills hope. And I think that's probably the biggest commodity that we have in this field is hope.
Absolutely, in a lot of things. I mean, I think about illnesses of all kinds. Mm-hmm. If a doctor gives you some sort of hope, you're willing to try.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Well, what you're doing is very special.
Thank you.
And it's obviously something that is very needed by the fact that you're growing so much. So you mentioned that you do have meetings. Is that something that people could just pop in at, or how does that work, Tiffany?
Absolutely. Our meetings are all open to the public, and we have a wide variety of meeting opportunities. We've got art group on Mondays that people can come in, and we've got different projects going that people can just start a project, stay with us multiple weeks and finish a project. But there's something therapeutic about just having your creative self come out in a safe space where you can talk about things. So that's art group. We've got smart recovery, which is really a tool and skill-based support group. We've got all recovery meetings, and that's for anybody, recovery of any flavor. It's not 12-step group. It's really kind of an affirmative, encouraging group. We have celebrate recovery meetings. We've got a peer men group, which is for men who struggle with sexual addiction. We've got a relapse group that's coming to really equip people with skills to avoid return to use. So anybody is welcome. It's open to anybody. We also have a family group on Thursdays. So family members who have loved ones or family or concerned persons, you can come and get support for yourself on how do I love my person when they're hard to love, right? And keep myself safe. So yeah, we've got our calendar on our website, and anybody can just pop into our meetings at any time.
And I know on January 19th, you have something coming up that you wanted to tell our listeners about.
Yes, we have a movie night, January 19th. It's open to family. It's kid-friendly. There'll be popcorn. It's going to be a blast. And we just, my husband and some other volunteers worked their butts off to get our basement space really finished up nice. And there's a big TV down there, so it's going to be fun. Anybody's welcome.
What time is this, please?
6 p.m.
On January 19th. January 19th. Mm-hmm. We love it. So great to see you. Thank you so much for coming in. Again, the great work that goes on at Rise Up Recovery can all be found online. If you have any questions about some of the things that Tiffany was just speaking of, what is your website, please?
Yeah, www.riseuprecoverymn.com.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth. Our guest today, Tiffany Newharth. She's the executive director of Rise Up Recovery in Hastings. And this is AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.